Welcome to the National Center for Science Education podcast, recorded September 28th, 2005. In this podcast, you'll hear Dr. Eugenie C. Scott and Nick Motzke of NCSE discussing testimony of Robert Pennick, taken at the Kitzmiller et al. Versus Dover Area School District trial, currently underway in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
And Robert Pennick was asked about the history of the concept of methodological naturalism, and he explained how it gradually developed, starting even with the Greeks and with Hippocrates, and he went through the alchemists of the late Middle Ages, and then he moved on to the Enlightenment and the Scientific Revolution. And in each point, there were people who advanced our knowledge, even though they were operating under what we would not term modern scientific premises, but what has been retained in their work is the stuff that makes sense with methodological naturalism. For example, Newton spent much of his writings working on interpreting the Book of Revelation, but the stuff that gets taught in science classes today is his laws of motion. Anything to add with that, Jeannie?
A whole lot was made of the issue of methodological naturalism versus philosophical or existential naturalism. And because that is pretty key. I mean, if as it is, methodological naturalism is such a bedrock part of science. And Rob illustrated very nicely through a series of quotes from the literature that it is the goal of intelligent design to attack that foundational idea. And some of the quotes that he presented were from the design revolution and Dembski's Intelligent Design, the Bridge Between Science and Theology. The subtitle alone tells you a lot there. And in all of these, he pulled out quotes where the design proponents were whining about how intelligent design, although it's this wonderful new revolutionary field, is being kept out of science because science is methodologically naturalistic, which actually I think was a very good kind of line of testimony, because that underscores the point of view of the plaintiffs that, yes, indeed, everybody in science, even its opponents, agree that the way you do science is through methodological naturalism. And the fact that the intelligent design folks are whining about how they're not considered part of the club because they are not methodologically naturalistic, I think just only underscores that point the better. So I think that was actually very, very clever of the plaintiffs to bring that in. There was one rather amusing moment, really quite a large laugh during the cross when Pat Gillen said to Pennock, intelligent design is a big ten. And Pennock was really quite confused because what Gillen had actually said was intelligent design is a big tent. And coming from Michigan State, which is a big ten school, was fairly confusing. And he told us later over lunch, I didn't know whether they were talking about some top 10 scientific theories or what, but everybody laughed very hard when it was figured out what they were actually talking about, including the judge. And it's always good when the judge is relaxed enough to laugh. This is a helpful thing.
Yep. I think the cross-examination mostly reiterated points that were covered in the main direct examination. Some things were more emphasized, and I think Pennock got a chance to talk more about some of the topics that were really dear to his heart, like the Evita simulation.
Yeah.
So when they asked him some skeptical questions about that, he took the time to explore that in detail, and especially to explain that, in his view, it's not really a simulation, it's an instantiation of the evolutionary process, and that it actually is happening with all of the basic things that occur that are necessary for Darwinian evolution to occur: replication, mutation, and natural selection. So he emphasized that point, and there were several critical questions, but I thought he addressed them fairly well. One thing that I think would be worth noting is that Patrick Gillen again brought up scientists investigating psychic powers. That's a direct quote that I took.
Oh, yeah, and Rob handled that beautifully.
Rob handled that quite well.
I mean, we think where they're going with this is that their idea of paranormal research involves the supernatural. And because these people who promote these paranormal ideas are claiming to do scientific experiments and using control, and you know that the argument is that they're doing science. Hence, I mean, this is what we think is going on. This is only our speculation. Hence, since paranormal research is done in a scientific fashion, therefore, the supernatural, it's okay to bring the supernatural into science. But Rob just nailed that.
What was his reply? It's escaping me at the moment.
Okay. Quite all right. It's the end of a long day, folks.
Yep.
No, his reply was that people who do research in ESP or telekinesis are actually using methodological naturalism. Those who are actually claiming to do paranormal research are not assuming there are supernatural causes for these phenomena. They're assuming that there are natural causes which are yet unknown, and they're trying to discover what they are. So they are, you know, they may be right, they may be wrong, but they are working within a normal science paradigm in that sense. I think that was a very devastating reply, and would, you know, you'd think that would kind of shut off that line of questioning, assuming that Gillen actually understood what was going on there. Another thing similar that I noticed that looked like, you know, Rob's expertise just kind of slammed the door in the face of that particular line of questioning was when Pat Gillen for the Thomas More Law Center brought up Lavoisier, the French chemist, historical figure, and claimed that he called for a scientific revolution. Now, one shouldn't play too vigorously on the field of someone who knows a great deal more than you do about the field, and I have a feeling that Rob probably knows a whole lot more about the history of science than maybe Mr. Gillen does. But Rob was certainly knowledgeable about that claim and responded that, in fact, Lavoisier's call for a scientific revolution was not a challenge to science, but to certain presuppositions that people of his time held about the nature of chemical structures. And he was operating himself within a purely methodologically naturalist framework. And this was the beautiful part about the cross-examination, that everything that Gillen threw at him to try to, you know, weaken this idea of methodological naturalism is basic to science. It certainly appeared to me, and maybe Nick too, that Rob was able to handle very effectively and say, no, science really is method, and your example just underscores the fact that science is methodological.
Yeah, I got that impression. I had the impression that Pennock was strong on the direct examination and came out even stronger on cross.
And his demeanor also was just wonderful. You know, there's this funny little game between confidence and cockiness, and he just hit exactly the right tone. I mean, he was confident, and he was sure of himself, and he was very knowledgeable, and he was very articulate. It was great. It was really a pleasure to hear. I talked to a reporter afterwards, and the reporter was saying, "Wow, that was really good," she said. And that computer program is just fascinating. It was really fun to see that people outside of science were also buzzed by this.
Well, and I noticed a number of, I think they were science journalists, but a number of people wanted to interview Pennock about the Evita model.
This is true.
After he was finished, and he could, witnesses cannot talk about their testimony directly while the case is still ongoing, but Robert Pennock has obviously talked about this Evita program many times, so that was fine, and he gave a mini lecture after the cross ended outside the courtroom to a number of reporters. And I think that's probably the end of Robert Pennock, where you've got to go to dinner. So thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Goodness.